Yeah, I told him, can I have a board up here? And so, because if when I say something, sometimes I put it on. And so whatever I put on, it, when we finish in about 4 hours, I'm going to give you a pop quiz. And so you'll have to actually reproduce whatever I put up on here. And it have to be. Now, I'm going to have to set my clock. I like to set it because, you know, something I can go. You know how teachers are? They just keep going and going and going. So when it goes off, then I stop. Now, he mentioned Amos this morning. And I think that's probably going to bounce off of this all because I'm right up underneath. I could probably speak without a mic, but you might, I don't know if you're videoing this or what, you might want to take it. So,
can you push a little more?
I see. I got to be in the middle. Is that what it is? Okay. Let me bring me right between the two monitors. Yeah, there we go. And then everything will go good. Now, he said that the Lord is raising up the tabernacle of David. Now, let me tell you, a lot of people think that's the praise and worship. That's not only the praise and worship. Okay? The tabernacle of David, if you even understand, and this would probably take me right into what I need to give you today. Anybody heard of this? Righteousness. And justice. Okay? Righteousness and justice. Have you seen this? Because I want to tell you where we are right now. Okay, you've probably seen this already. I hope you've seen this chart. Have you seen it? No? Okay, then you're going to see it for the first time. Prophetic words go out. The prophets speak here. You had the prophets Isaiah, you had the prophets Jeremiah, you had the prophets Amos, you have all the prophets. And so what happens, they speak here, then it has to come into effect, but it won't come into effect just by itself. So what do you need? You need the intercessors. Okay? Now, once the intercessors come in, then all of a sudden they bring in the leadership. And we already know about this, Cyrus. We already know who the Cyrus of the United States is. Whether you believe it or not, God did put Trump in there. I'm not trying to be political or anything, but he did. We are not the only nation that God put a leadership in. We are the only ones because what happens here is going to happen worldwide. It's just going to spread. Just going to go ahead and spread. In other words, what happens when they see the United States, they know there's somebody behind it that's going to protect them. That's going to say, no, you can't do this. And so we have what they call the sirens in Australia where my daughter lives. They have Scott Morris, Christian. He was supposed to be in office. They somehow twisted the election over there. He lost it. But you know something? They said, something went wrong. And in 8 months, Scott Morrison was put into office. And he's been in office for the last year and a half. Because God has to do something in the world. And so who we have in Brazil? We have Bolsonaro, I believe. Bolsonaro, I can't remember his name. He's in Brazil. Then you have one, and then you have the leadership, I can't remember his name, in Guatemala. And then you, believe it or not, how many people even went on the, would go on their Facebook and they see the, in Poland, the kids, young people out in the street says, no, we want Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in Poland. Wow. And if you haven't heard that the last 2 weeks, Papua New Guinea is considered to be a Christian nation. Wow. This is what's happening. So you have, so the intercessors pray. The Cyrus is in. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Though you have intercessors, It doesn't mean it's going to come into effect until the people decide to do something about it. You know why? How many intercessors do you think they have in China?
A lot.
Million, probably more than we do. They got over 100 million in the Christian church there, but yet you still see a godless leader. So intercession will take it, but then now all of a sudden you have to begin to do something. Sean is beautiful. When I was listening to the news the other day, and I heard when Sean Foyt, 12,000 in Sacramento. And then they went up to Seattle and they closed them out of the park. But guess what? They right in front of the fence that surrounded the park that they couldn't go in, he had what he had as a praise protest. Right? That's legal. It's a protest. What do you think, Martin Luther called? Why the Protestant Revolution? Because it was a protest. And we got the Protestants. So I don't know. Maybe we better go back to that name, Protestants. So we can protest whatever they say there. So you have the silences, and what happens is then you have the Nehemiahs. Then you have the Ezras. And who are these guys? Okay, these are me. These are the teachers. Okay? Teachers come. God put into the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and then teachers. But he says he has set first in the church apostles, prophets, teachers. I love that. Teachers, that's me. Love it. So, and what is this supposed to do? Well, let me just say this. I'm going to go ahead and read. Let's go over, if you want, you can open your Bibles up to Isaiah 59, because I want to bring, what we need to begin to do today is this. The tabernacle. God. And he called it the sure mercies of David. And what he did was he set up a covenant with him. And he says, if you met. Somebody was on TV. We was listening to somebody. And he said, turn off that for a minute. And he said, if we screw up, I'm there for you. Now, he said this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and he didn't screw up until chapter 11, four chapters later when he messed up with Bathsheba. He says, I'm going to forgive you, and we can stand on that that God. That he will come to our rescue in whatever area you're in, whatever area you're suffering, whatever area that you need God to come in and intercede for you. Amen. Or come in and help you and pull you right on out of there. Psalm 59. I'm going to read the whole thing except the last verse because Isaiah. You see how I am, teachers? You know, we go half knit wit everywhere. So Isaiah 59. And I'm gonna try and go through it real quick because I have the next 3 hours with you. And so now I have to put on my other seating. I don't like bifocals because you tend to look through them. It says here, Isaiah 59, reading from the New King James Version. And if you wanted to teach the by the way, the Passion is also out in Isaiah, so you can read it there. But I wanted to read this because it brings out a lot of things. It says, behold, The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, and what I did there is I put our. I didn't want to sound like I'm just saying you, when I'm pointing you there, but three fingers are pointing back at me. So what happens is I put it in there, our. But our iniquities have separated us from our God, and our sins have hidden his face from us, so that he will not hear. For our hands are defiled with blood. How many we see that today in America? Yep. It's called the abortion. Yep. What happens is when the cup of iniquity gets so full, judgment has to come. It has to come. God says the cup of iniquity has come to the top. It's flowing over. I have to bring about judgment. Or justice. The second half of verse 3. And our fingers with iniquity, our lips have spoken lies. Oh, do we hear that all every day? You want to know who in the world is a good congressman or senator? Because they everything that comes out. But the thing of it is, it's the truth. And if you're a Republican or a Democrat, God is neither one. What happened when Joshua was just about ready to go into the fight in the land? He goes up to this size of a man, and he says, "Are you for?" What did the angel of the Lord say? Neither. But are you with me? That's what he was saying in plain Hebrew. Are you with me? And if you are. Now, in about 20 years. No, we ain't leaving tomorrow. We're not leaving next year. We're not even leaving 10 years from now. Let me see. I hear some of the kids back there. You see that? Regeneration right there? Believe me, they're going to be operating in this. And when you understand what this is, then you'll understand. Yes. Because what happens? We have to train a generation. I'm 71, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be around in 20 years. You know what? Oh, lovely ones. 1-6, right? That's the oldest grandson. The other one is 3. She's going to be 3 in November. And then I have 8.5. That's his little girl. And then my daughter has another one, 6 months. I have to ask the wife, you know, she knows everything. She knows the years. She was there. She was there when the very first grandchild was born. She got to live in Australia for 5 months. You can see me now. In 5 months, this wasn't here. Because it was just me and my son, and he did the cooking. but what? Proteins and health. When the wife cooks, she cooks tonight, and so I can eat it and love it. The end of verse 3. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perversity. Notice this, verse 4. No one calls for justice. Nor does any plead for truth. Their trust is empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and brought forth iniquity. Oh, do we see that today? Yes. They had violence. He who eats of their eggs dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. We see that rampant today. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. Oh my goodness. After the friendly protest is over, then the ones who do evil start coming out of the woodworks. Those are the ones that they bus in. Just plain and simple. The truth. They bus them in. They don't even live in the area. They don't even live in the state. They bus them in or fly them in. However you want to do it. And they're putting up many boku money. Putting it up. Why? Because they don't like God's anointed. That's all it is. God's anointed. We will see what happens to people who come against God's anointed. Oh, I like to respect the Jews. That's how I make God. I write God. Elohim. So what happened? Elohim or Yahweh, YHVH, the Hebrew, the I am. So I respect them. I did a lot of Jewish studies my life. I did 3 years of Greek, year and a half of Hebrew. So some of the words that I put up to you, I have to look up the Hebrew or the Greek because when they transliterate these in books, I go, it doesn't compute here. And so I go to the Greek, I go to the Hebrew, I go, oh, and they write it all wrong. And so what I'll do is I'll write it in the Hebrew and then I'll try to put the transliteration for you the way that it's pronounced correctly so that we can get this. Otherwise, I got a few minutes. My. Verse 8, the way of peace they have not. And notice what it says. And there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that, they shall not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness; for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. In other words, the sun is bright, but we're still tripping over each other because it's dark spiritually. We all growl and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice. How many people, I can tell you right now that the church is looking for justice. But the thing of it is you say, but the church is silent. Don't worry. It's coming. And I say within the next couple of months. First of all, you're going to see everything stop on November 4th. Plain and simple. We're going to go. Well, I mean, we was looking at the news the other day, and they said if they was to, in other words, if they was to bring, well, how many people actually died of the plague? It was only 9,000. In other words, there's a 94% mistake. Well, we're going to find that out anyhow. You know, they're doing this because they're going to do it to the election, and that's all of there is. If there's anybody here who says, well, you can't talk politics in the church. Yes, you can. Trump undid the Johnson Amendment of 1954. It was like done in the first year that he was there. He just, with an executive order. He said, yes, the church can talk about anybody in politics that they want to. They're not going to get written to get up against. But why? Because the Johnson Amendment has been repealed. So, we can talk. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing, verse 13, and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt,
conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. 14. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. People, we better get our righteousness together and start stepping forward and saying, God, where are you? You know what his answer is, right? Yeah. I'm right here. Yep. And then he goes, where are you? That's all it, where are you? For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. I'm sure God is very displeased today. Why? That there is no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no, we saw down here, no intercessor. Therefore, he brought his own arm brought salvation for him and his own righteousness. Jesus is the only one who can walk in his own righteousness. We cannot. We cannot walk in our righteousness, because what does the Bible say? They are as filthy rags. Exactly. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know what that means? You know what the word filthy rags in the actual Greek means? A female's, that's exactly what it is. The female rag that you throw away once a month. That's what he says. You are as bad as a tampon. I can see you going, oh brother, you're gonna say, oh my goodness, you should have heard what the pastors of what that doctor whatever his name is preached. And my wife goes, keep going, that's no place to stop. Now all of a sudden, here's where Paul picks this up at. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. And he put on, exactly, Ephesians 4, chapter 4. He put on, chapter 6, verse 11. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and helmet of salvation on his head. And he, I don't know why Paul didn't put this, I wish he would have put this in. And he put on a garment of vengeance. Which means to revenge, to avenge one who raises his hands to avenge another. God is going to do something. And was clad with zeal as cloak, and according to his dead deeds, verse 18, he will repay fury for his adversaries. Uh-oh. Recompense to his enemies. Uh-oh. Coastlines he will fully repay. Coastlines, aren't we on the coastline of the United States? Here we are, California. We heard, it was listening to a prophetic word which was given back in 2018. Because I'm only one of few that's going to preaches what you hear today. Just one of few, or what you're going to hear today. This what I teach is not original. You understand this chart that I just told you is from Lance Wall now. Okay, and what he did is he told me where I would be. I wasn't the prophet, because I forget my prophecies, man. If you've seen a bad prophet, here go one right here. I'm not an apostle. They say the apostles go around and they. They're just, I heard one pastor say, all they are is just a guy who goes to a different country, and he says, he's just a missionary. You know what an apostle is? Let me show you what an apostle is. I'm not a boat, I can't make boats real good, but you like this boat? You got a few bolts here. Okay. That's nice. That's the apostle here is the leadership. They call this apostolos. Apostolos. A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S. This is the Greek, okay? Apostolos. They call this the apostle, the lead. And what they're supposed to do, they're supposed to go to the country, and they're supposed to set up the city here, and they're supposed to make it exactly the way from the country that they left, so that when the leader here comes here, he feels at home. So that's what that means there. And they take, and the leadership does this. And so what happens is, what did Jesus do? Make this place exactly. But we're going to have to do something about it. Because he had an uprising up there too. He did. He had an uprising. And you know what he said? He said, Michael, take care. And Jesus said, I. And you know why? You know why Jesus had to put Michael the archangel to do that? Because it's like taking a bulldozer, a bazooka to try to kill a mosquito. That's exactly how it's like. God, crispy critters, you ever heard that phrase? Crispy critters? That's exactly what the devil would be like today if God decided, I'm going to take care of you myself. But you know something? He says, here's an earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word create to be, it means to perfection. I hear a lot of the theologians say, and then God began to bring it about. Heck no. God doesn't make darkness. God is not formless. God has no void in him. There is no darkness in God whatsoever. Not even a smidgen. You know what I'm talking about. We'll leave it there. But something happened between verses 1 and 2. And the word, and it says, and the word was void and dark. The word actually said, and it became. Something happened that it went from perfection to where it is today. And what from that verse, chapter 1, verse 2, going all the way to this present day, is called the restoration process. God. Restoration process. And we're still in the restoration process, but we need to do this. And I'm going to have to go into it right away because my time is already, I've been yakking for the last half hour. Redeemer, let me see, verse 8, verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. The enemies who comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. So whatever's happening out there, we're going to have to put a standard. So that when the evil starts to come, it's going to hit and fall back. You know something? You and the Holy Spirit is greater than any 10,000 out there. One can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. You and the Holy Spirit. I don't think I've ever seen 10,000 Antifa out there. They have to bust them in to try to get the numbers to look good. I was watching the news the other day and I saw a person who was standing up for America and he took one of, I like what The speaker last night on TV said, these guys, they come in with their big old jackets and their arms look like this. But when you take off their jackets, their arm was about that big. So, getting back to this, the Redeemer will come to Zion. Who's Zion today? That's the church. The Redeemer will come to Zion. That's in first part of 20. And those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Now, I'm going to leave verse 21 to the end. Okay? It tells me to jump all the way over. So for the next 20 years, people, we have to train up a generation. We're going to have to do what the Lord has told us to do, as the church, the people in it, the teachers, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers. We're going to have to train up this young generation with the ability. And I wanted to try to draw a sword, but I wasn't really good at it. Because on each side of it. But I saw a good drawing the other day. And so I'll try and try to make it pretty decent. With a handle, it goes around here, and the handle goes around then. Obviously this. Two-edged sword. Righteousness and justice. The two-edged sword. What has the church been swinging? All they've been doing is swinging this side here. Healing. Salvation. Baptism. Baptism. You know how baptism is written. This is what we've been doing. But what about this part? Justice. Judgment. Some people say, because I know people say, boy, that's good. Man, that's really life. That's really good. People, you got to be careful. Because you know what happens when the pendulum swings all the way over here? Because this is what we've been teaching, salvation and healing and all of that good stuff, the goodness, prosperity, the whole thing. The pendulum swings over here, and so what we want to do is we want to try to balance this thing, and we try to, and then what we do is we want to swing the pendulum. And what we begin to do is we begin to operate in this area without the what we begin to do is say, by God, they get cut and receive it, because we want to cut them off at the root right now. Go. That's it. No more with you. Because I was studying this. When I began studying this, I said, God, what happens if we try to call down your justice and your judgment on this person, but they don't go? What should we go ahead and terminate them? You know what he said? That's none of your business. You know why? We don't know where. Let me give you some steps here. See, in God, we have what they call, and I was talking with, I think I was talking with you the other day, Dominic, and we have what they call, there's five steps of God's love. The five layers of God's love. The first one is basically salvation. We want to call it, I have it in, let me look at it in my notes. Instead of try to see where I'm at. Way over here. Nope, it's back here. because I need to get to the point where we're going to operate that. And it's called salvation or acceptance, if you want to see that. You're going to hear this teaching down the line some more. Oh, I know what I was telling the prophetic word that we was listening to. We heard it. It was actually came out in 2018. It was spoken by Jeremiah Johnson. Okay, so you look up Jeremiah Johnson and the word for California. He gives a word for California, and I believe it came out in February 2018. But he reposted it Friday night. Well, I don't know if he did, but he said, get it out. And so I wanted to send you to that and listen to the prophetic because of California. And I said, okay. And then he began to talk about what I'm talking about today. And what happened was I was saying, God, am I going to bring this Sunday morning? Because this is basically a long-term teaching. You can't teach this in one morning. Sunday morning is probably not the best time to teach it. A Wednesday night when you're going to go Wednesday week after week after week so that we can begin to go through these steps. And so the first step is salvation or God's acceptance. The second step is forbearance. I'm not a very, my wife, I should tell her, she's got great hand, a great penmanship. This is pastoral love. There you go, Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike goes, you don't have to call me pastor. I said, when you stop calling me Dr. Ray, I'll stop calling you Pastor Mike. this is self-control. Okay, under this self-control. In other words, I'm not going to go out and just, you know, and just I'm going to call damnation down on you. Okay, that's so you got to have a little self-control. Can we go through these steps, or do we want to go through step number 5, which was you'll see. Number 3 is a warning. Okay, a warning. This is what you call. The prophetic love. Woo, this is when the prophets say, this is what we just read in Isaiah chapter 59. This is the prophetic love. Number 4, this is called affliction. This is called teaching love. Uh-oh, that's me. In other words, what happens is the prophetic word goes out. The teacher hears it, mulls it, goes to the word, and starts to tell. Because when we start operating, I'm going to give you the 7 phases. Okay, and we begin to tear down the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic. Yes. So that what the prophet said, we know that it's true. Because we did hear a prophetic word a couple of months ago about this pastor who said, I'm not a prophet. And he saw nothing but hellfire and death coming up. And then we began to talk about this the other day. And what we saw was, what he saw was, he saw what was happening. This is the first heaven. This is where we are. He saw what was going on in the second heaven, which is the demonic area. And what he needed to do was go speak to the prophets who are primed in all of this, and they would have shown him the third heaven. He saw only this. And so that's all he could bring about. But what happens, you heard Lance Wallnau, he says he heard this, and he kind of explained it to the people who listened to him. This is where he was at. And that you need to begin to talk with everybody. So if you see something, if you If I had a dream. You say, I had a dream. Pastor, I had a dream. What do you think of it? Call him up. No, no call. Wait till Sunday. Pastors are busy. Pastor, I had it. This is what I had a dream. I had, and I don't know about this. Let's talk about it. Let's go over it. And we'll see what the scripture says. Bring it in line with the scripture. And so that's what he saw. He saw the second heaven where the demonic operate. He didn't see what God's doing and how God is going to nullify what's happening here. How? Through his body. You and me. That's the only way he can do it. Number four and number five. This is the end. This is called termination. Now, we don't like this. But see, but this is what I'm telling you. The two-edged sword. Operate here first. Then, if it doesn't, then operate here. But after you've gone through these steps in your life, these are teachings in themselves. This walk of operating in these two fields is a lifelong walk. You cannot learn it in one Sunday morning hour preaching or teaching or Wednesday night for the next month. You have to learn how to walk it so that when you walk in God's love, when you do it, tears come to your eyes when you say, gotta cut them off. And the reason why you just don't want to cut them off, because you don't know about so and so. Only God will eventually accept Jesus Christ. It could be 20 years. But he knows if this guy, and if God has known that faith before him to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, will not terminate him right away. That's where we call down termination. Okay? You say, I'll tell you what, let's gonna jump. You say, how do you know? What we call in the theological field is the sevenfold test. What do we mean by the sevenfold test? If it says it as a seed form in the book of Genesis, then if it's spoken in the law or the Torah, then if it's spoken in the Psalms or Proverbs 3, then if it's spoken in the prophets, then if it's spoken by Jesus, then if it's spoken you can see it in the book of Acts, and then if it operated in the epistles. That's the sevenfold test. So, righteousness and justice, can we find it that way? Oh, I'm glad you asked. The first place of justice is Genesis chapter 18. And somebody tell me who Genesis chapter 18 is talking about. How about the angels that visited Genesis chapter 18? This is in seed form, Genesis. Seed form. This should be seed form. What happened here in Genesis chapter 18? God comes to Abraham. Remember the three visitors. They come to Abraham. They, by the way, I'm not even following my notes. I'm just... When you do study, that's what happens. So See, God. Then God takes you. So he comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But what did God say first? Will I do anything unless I talk to Abraham first, who's my covenant partner in the earth? And so this is Abraham interceding. God, if there's 45, destroy it. Okay. If there's 40, will you destroy it? No. This is Abraham talking to the father. If there's 30, if there's 20, if there's 10, See, Abraham thought there would at least be 10. How did he figure 10? Okay. A Lot and his wife, his two daughters and their husbands, that gives us 6. And they each have 2 kids. That gave him 10. That's how he was thinking. Good, there's not 10 in there. But he only found 3. You see, the husbands didn't want to. They wanted to go with their stuff. And so the intercession, he worked it down to 10. You know something? If he would have worked it down to 0, God would not have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, if there's none in there, but somebody could go in there. That's how I believe. He would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's number one. So we see. So there was an intercession. So the intercessor dealt with that in seed form. Number two, can we find it in the Torah? In Numbers chapter 16. What happened here? Moses is dealing with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Abiram, if you want to see it. They complained to Moses, and they, you know what their complaint was. Moses, you ain't the only one that God can talk to. That was a mistake. Because what did Moses do? Moses says, I'll tell you what. You bring your sacrifice and we come here and everybody who's going to stand with them, go over there. Everybody wants to stand with me, come over here. And then what did Moses do? Moses said, and if you are in between, I suggest you don't go over there with them. Paraphrasing. He says, I wouldn't stand over there, but if you're with me, let's see who God's going to be on. And if then Moses said, and if the earth opened up and take them out. Yep. And what happened? The earth opened up and took them out. Now, we talked yesterday. When we get together, all of us, when we get together, all we do is want to talk the word, which is great. We talk and Friday night, I woke up probably about 3:00 in the morning. And tried to go back to sleep, and I was there. And the first thing that the thing that came to me when I was trying to go back to sleep is what they tried to do with the church in America, especially in California. And what was the word that we used? They said the churches are what? Irrelevant? Non-essential? But I heard irrelevant. Okay, irrelevant. And this is the face that came before me. Gavin Newsom. And he said this word. He used this. No, I think he said, I don't remember which one he said. I think if we would have said it, but he said, churches are irrelevant. And I spoke, no, you're irrelevant. And he dropped dead. No, amen, but God, no. But I think what's going to happen is, let's say this happened, I'm not bringing justice on him. But you know that his aunt says she goes to church and she says to read the Bible. But you know who her aunt is, his aunt is, right? It's Pelosi. So if you didn't know, there you go. Maybe she could talk some sense into him if there's some justice is shown into the earth. Okay? That's what I saw. So we see it in Genesis. We see it in the Torah, which was in Numbers 3. Do we see it now in the Proverbs and Psalms? Yes. Psalm 3, you can go read this down later. And 143. Guess who this is? This is the prayer of David. What had happened to David? He lost his throne temporarily, and he begins to pray these. He prays Psalm 3 and Psalm 143. All his way. As he leaves, his son Absalom had talked to the elders of the city and even to Ahithophel. And the Bible says that Ahithophel gave counsel to David and to Absalom both. But Absalom drew the men of Israel away from David because he was pronouncing himself king. Just to read the last verse. God, because David said, as you read Psalm 143, you can go right through it. But then in the last verse he says, and cut them off. And what happened to Absalom? We know. He got killed. He was hanging between heaven and earth. Heaven didn't want him. The earth didn't want him either. You know, his hair caught. He got caught in the branches. So that's where he died, between heaven and the earth. And so we see that's number three. Going quickly. Number four. Does it appear in the prophets? We see Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. What is this all about? This is King Hezekiah. So because I wanted to read this. The king of the Assyrian was, his name is Sennacherib, not Sennacherib. His name was Sennacherib. You know English as somebody from France or Italy or Spain. They come and they try to say an English word and all of a sudden you go, because they tried it, but you say, God forgive them. You know, they're learning English. Well, I heard somebody say Sennacherib, and I go, Sennacherib. So the letter that Sennacherib sends to King Hezekiah, I want to read it. We can see that in chapter 36, starting with verse 16. He says, you can drop this down, you can write it down and then read it later. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what he's telling the people of Israel. Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a prophet and come out to me. And every one of you eat from his own vine, and everyone from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern. Let me stop there. You go cause trouble over there, and you'll reap for that. Drink your wine over there. You go cause trouble over there in that city, and you suffer over there. And you cause havoc over there, and you cause havoc over here. But then this is what happens when you deal with Marxism, communism, and all that other good stuff. Then he says this, until I come and take you away from this land to your own land and the land of grain and new wine and bread and vineyards, beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, let me give you a little history. I used to teach history too. World history, American history, and American government when I was in the public school system. I'm a plumber. So I did teaching for 10 years. My wife and I, we taught private school. Then I went to teaching the public school system. And then I went into plumbing for 30 years. So now I teach plumbing. So I put my teaching and my plumbing into, and I teach young kids how to a trade. So they get out and they're way ahead of anybody who comes off the street. If you're not a plumber and you go in there and say, how can I fix my disposal? Well, they know how to do that. How do I fix my toilet and put a new one in there? They know how to do that. So what happens in government, what happened was, they sent these people out to cause trouble. And then you hear about the 12 million or the 20 million that died in Russia. And then you hear about those who died in Venezuela and those who died in Red China, the millions of people. What happened is they used you and you and you and you to cause a whole havoc. But you know something? What happens is they have to get rid of you because you could cause something against them next. So there's where they start to eliminate, and this is where you get the hundreds of thousands of people who've died. It's not the plain person over there who has a little house over there and he just working with his garden. No, they don't. Those are not the ones that kill. It's the ones that helped them get to power. That's who they eliminate. And so all these people that's causing problems out there, they're the first ones to go. You know what they always say about the anarchists? You don't know. They're the first ones to die. They're the ones that want to live. They're the ones that cause all the problems. They want to be up there with the big shots. They're the first ones to die. That, by the way, that's the sign of the anarchists. A with the circle around it. You're learning something new, and that's old. So what happened? So this, listen to what he says. So this is what this says, beware of Hezekiah, verse 18, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord is us. This is Sennacherib. Has any one of the king of Assyria, all of the ones that he did, indeed have death Samaria from my hands? Who among all countries from my hand, that the Lord from my hand? This is where you begin to operate here. Let me bring that across. If it gets to the point, I wrote the letter to Pastor, the one that they MacArthur. I sent him an email through their website. I hope he read it. I don't know. What happens is, if you come to the point where salvation for the masses is going to be hindered, this is where you take him out. I like the story of Sergeant York. Remember the story of Sergeant York, who was in World War One. He was a conscientious objector, and he didn't like killing people. He didn't want to shoot people. He had gotten saved, and he says, I'm not here to shoot. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go out and kill people. I will not pick up a rifle. He was a great marksman. Sergeant York, Alvin C. York, was a great marksman. He says, I don't want to kill anybody. But what they were doing, they had some German soldiers under arrest. They was taking them back, and all of a sudden they came underneath fire, and all he saw was his men dying. And even the leadership was down, and he was in charge. So he says, okay. So what he did is he ran around the side, and what happened is he started picking off the Germans one by one, and he killed 26. And they said, and the captain or the colonel came up to him and says, why did you do that? He says, I saw my men dying. So he says, oh, you killed them to save lives. Yes. So if somebody has to die to save lives, that's where we can begin to use it. We're going to have to bring up a generation that has to operate in this area, but they're going to have to operate here. Yes. And you know, and then you know the rest of the story, that Hezekiah takes that threatening letter. He takes it to the temple and he says, God, look at what they He didn't say against him. Against you, the Almighty God. And what happens is Isaiah comes and says, the Lord heard your prayer. He interceded. And what happened? 185,000 Assyrians die in one night. By a plague. My hour is over. So, we're going exactly 1 hour. So, 185,000 have died of a plague. People, they have been yelling. Who showed it to me this morning? They showed it to me on their phone. It says, look what they're saying in a certain city. F Jesus. I don't remember. Was it Philadelphia somewhere? What would happen if all of these people are in one and all of a sudden there's an earthquake happens? Because a person knows how to operate in justice says, God, look what they're saying to you. And all of a sudden he takes out 1,000. Even if he took out 200. Even like Dathan and Korah and Abiram against coming against Moses. He took their leadership and 250. By the way, if you have to go to work, you can go ahead and leave. And he took out 250 of that leadership. Something is going to happen. Franklin Graham is having his prayer the 25th of this month. One day before you guys head to Washington. The 26th, I can't remember. Anyway, he's having his prayer and watch. I don't want to be against God at this moment. Because what he's going to happen, he's going to pray and he's going to have his march all the way to the White House. I don't. Because something is going to happen. I believe the heavens are going to break open like we've heard the prophetic words. That literally, because right now there's a dark covering over the nation. It's going to be broken. And I believe it's going to come. My spiritual father who's in Malaysia. He's got churches all over the world. 70 nations. I have to ask my son because he's the one who knows a little more. 70 nations. Dr. Jonathan David. You've heard of him. He wrote his thesis, his apostolic strategies for a blueprints for churches. 600 pages. Can you imagine a thesis? That he gave, and his spiritual father is Bishop Bill Hammond. So, in other words, he came up to him, and this is what he told us. He said, "There's going to be a double decade of an open heaven," and he always gives two years on each side, 2018, 2022, but he said probably about 2020, and then we got 40 years, a double decade, 20 years, double decade. So we got until about 2040. That's the come. I say, God, it's not coming tomorrow. It's not coming next week. It's not coming in 10 years. Why? Because there's a generation that's literally going to be walking in this. That if they come up and they get threatened, they're going to say like Paul did. This is number six step. Because number six in the Acts of the Apostles. I'll give you five in a few minutes. Acts. When he went into the town Paphos, and he came up against Elymas, E-L-Y-M-A-S, and he kept hindering Paul from talking to the proconsul Sergius Paulus, and he was telling him, but this is the way of the cross, this is the way of Jesus, and he had this false prophet keep coming at him and then he goes, be blind for a season. Can you imagine your daughter or your son at the age of 10, they go into school and all of a sudden, are you a Christian? By golly. And all of a sudden, we're going to kick your booty after school. And he goes, be blind for 2 days, and he can't find him after school. You think so? You think not? How about the kids operating that way? Yes. Don't be surprised if somebody decides they want to shut down your church, Pastor Mike, and one of the little kids say, "No, we are having fun. You get out of here." Right on their face. So Paul did that. Be blind. We all, obviously, we already know about Acts chapter 5 when they try to lie to Peter. Ananias and Sapphira come. Yeah. You know, Ananias dies. Sapphira comes in a couple of hours later and says, "Yeah, we sold the property for this much. Do you think you were lying to me? You were lying to the Holy Spirit. And the same man that just took your husband out and buried him is taking you out." And she drops dead. But understand where Peter came. You know, because Jesus, this one here is Jesus. This is, we find it in the Gospels. Jesus used it. Let me tell you where you can find that. Number 5. Jesus did look in Luke chapter 18. "Then he spoke a parable to them." No, you know the parable. "That men ought always to pray." Ought always to pray. Ought always. Get on your knees and pray. If it be your commanded to be so. If it's not, if you don't hear somebody say, "Do it," don't. Because you don't know when that person, if that person will ever come to know Jesus Christ down the line. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to say, "I felt your prayer at the time that I was coming against the church. And I felt the pulling on my heart. And I decided, not, I don't." And all of a sudden, maybe 2 or 3 months later, they come and they get saved. And then all of a sudden you go, "Man, am I glad I didn't?" And you might be the instrument that God uses to bring him into the kingdom. And you go, "God, thank you that I didn't call heaven, I didn't call judgment down on them. Now they're my brother, my soul, my sister, instead of my enemy." So Jesus says this. A certain nobleman came and he said, "Don't lose heart." And it's verse 2. "There was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came," and you know the story, "get justice for me, get justice for me, get justice for me." You can hear, I can hear the people in the church saying, "Look at my story in Australia. A young man who was feeding the, was giving the girls that he would go out with this drug that, I don't remember what it was. And anyway, it gets them under drugs, and then he rapes them. And so one of the ladies had her daughter was raped. And so they came to a well-known minister and said, "What? Well," he got off. In other words, he was taken to court. He got off. "Is there any justice for me?" The lady says to the minister. He says, "Yes, we're going to pray right now. There's justice for you." And this is the prayer. He says, "If the man does not come to know you, take him out." 2 weeks later, because he didn't come to know, he was killed in a motorcycle accident. Never to be touched, never to touch another girl in that city. True story. And so what happens if you need justice for your children? This is where I cry because I can't stand them aborting babies. When I begin to look at my grandkids and see, I said to myself, don't bring that story up. But when you begin to look at your grandkids, And then justice is called. I'll come. Closed and filled. to the top. But I believe this church is going to begin to pray. Justice is going to become, and we're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. We're going to get them judges on the court, and we're going to turn it over. Verse 4, and he would not, talking about the justice, get to me for my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, no, this will troubles me. Intercession, intercession, intercession. He says, I will avenge her. Lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. And then Jesus finishes the chapter. Jesus finishes the scripture with, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry to him? Justice and righteousness. The seventh one, can we find it? And the epistles. I'm going to give you the reading. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And 2 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Then I charge, commit you to son. To you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered over to Satan for the destruction of their body. Can we find it in number 7. We find it in the epistle. 2 Timothy, he says this, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord save him according to his works. You must always beware of those guys. Okay? Now, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and make disciples of nations, not in nations. In other words, you have to disciple a nation, and that's what's going to happen this next term, this next year, these next 20 years. Not only the little kids, but we have to disciple nations. Some of you are going to go to the different nations of the world. My daughter called me up in June or July. He says, Dad, why don't you move here to Australia? So my wife and I will be going to Australia, but we'll be coming back. We'll be coming and going. I got a prophetic word back in the 90s. And it says you'll be coming and going. And then one day you're just going to go and not come back. So since 1990, I've been going to nations back, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, Philippines, Honduras, Australia, going back. I believe we've gone almost every year since 2004. We've been every year somewhere overseas. My wife didn't have to 1 year because she had a heart attack, and so the doctor says, no, you can't fly. But we was on our way to Malaysia at that time. But we'll be going there, and we'll be coming back, and hopefully whenever everything starts going good, we'll come here to minister. Now, let's go back to chapter 59 of Isaiah. And I told you I'd read the last, and we'll quit right here. I've already been talking to you for an hour and 15 minutes. And it says, now it says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. What covenant is that? All the ones he began in the middle of those verses where he talked about justice and righteousness. We have to operate in that. But we're going to have to operate in love first. I gave you the five layers of God's love. You got to operate there. Forget determination. Let God do determining. But if it comes to the point that you have, if it's life or death, God, hey, it's life or death. And he got something for you. If you have an assignment, God's going to keep you alive. I have an assignment. I'm 70 years old. I have an assignment. Moses didn't start his assignment until he was 80 years old. Joshua didn't start his assignment until he was 80 years old. Caleb was 40, was 85 when he began. He said, "Give me that mountain," he says. And he took that mountain. "This is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your shall not depart from your mouth." That's your prayer. "Nor children," he says, "descendants, nor from the mouth of your children's children," descendants, descendants, "says the Lord, from this time and forevermore." Pastor.
Can you pray over us?
Yes.
All right.
Wasn't that so good?
We'll have to have you back, Doctor.
And I tell you what, I've been wanting to have him since we've been pastor for 6 years. And collagen. But I that just so resonates. I feel like this is where we are, righteousness and justice. But can you just pray that over us? And I pray, just everybody just close your eyes, put your hands in front of you.
And basically, of course, I wanted you actually to repeat that verse, that last verse of chapter 59, which 21 or 23. You go home and pray that over you. But Father, right now, we give you thanks, we give you glory and honor, that Father, we will operate as you have destined us to. The assignment that you have placed upon each and every heart here. You will give them their assignment, what they should do. And they will fulfill it to the, I don't care if you're 85. God will use you. Father, we just give you praise. We give you glory. And we seal this which you have showed us today, which is only the beginning. Only the beginning. And we magnify you in all things as your word will be performed in our lives and in our nation, beginning with our city, our county, our state, and then extending to our nation and those who will be called to the world. We seal it. Your angels are encamped around about all, protecting them from harm and danger, lest they even dash their foot, trip on a small rock. You even protect them there. You will protect your people. Protect the next generation, that they'll be taught up in the word from the time they're born to the time that they're called into the ministry, to the time that you come for them or they go to be with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Father, right now, I want you to, in a tremendous way, over Pastor Mike, who has the job to bring it up, or the calling to bring this church up in this area. And Father, we just bless him all that you can, financially, spiritually, physically, all that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Wasn't that so good? Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Dr. Ray. That was a beautiful, powerful word. God, seal it in our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus.
Zelma operates in prophetic. She has a word for you.
Kind of funny because this is very special to me, because these kids But I was looking at Pastor Mike, and I remember when these kids went to the mission field. And I so appreciate them, because through these young men and women, and because of my daughter and son, I was like Mama Z. And I remember, you know, Ray taught them, but I remember I prayed for all of them and all the mission, where all of them went. And I just felt like saying, Mike, that you and Justin, Dominic, Danielle, Chris, that are here today, you were faithful in what God called you to do and go where He told you to go. And you were faithful to be obedient to the leaders, to be obedient to what God wanted you to do. And now you're married, you have your families, and you're raising up another generation. And whatever all of you have been through with your families or with your calling, with your finances, God has always been there, and He's faithful. And I just felt like, as we as parents, we say to our children, we're so proud of you. And I'm so proud of all of you. I'm proud of Pastor Mike. But God is proud of you. And I see these people. This is such a sweet place. And the young people that were singing, God is pleased because of your footsteps that's been ordered of Him. So in all that you go through, whatever things you have to face, and I don't know all of it, but I know you've had some struggles, or I wouldn't call it struggles, maybe it is, but the enemy tries to stop you, but he will not stop you. So just keep looking forward. Don't ever look back, because God is faithful. And to Justin and Dominic and Daniel, I'm sorry, and Chris, don't ever go back. Many have walked away, but God is pleased with all of you. And I love you.
That's so good. You're amazing. Woo! I received that. They're amazing. Hey, if you need some prayer, first I'm going to do two things. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to ask them if they have come to church and if they need some prayer today. And I want you to pray for the person next to you. And the second thing, I don't want everybody to rush them in the front. They got to get going on the. But if there, I feel like there might be a few people that the message was really resonating, and you just need them, this husband, powerful husband-wife team, just to lay hands on you and to agree with you. I want to open that up to you. But first and foremost, I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to ask them, is there something that you can agree with them over? And so, God, we just thank you for this day, and we just release your goodness, your blessing, your favor over this day, over this week. Seal this word in our spirit, in our heart. We bless you, Lord. We love you with all that's in us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.